Welcome to the Weekend Must Watch on Intercut, live from the Sundance studio. It is the Intercut crew joining here live. Oh, I have to remove this. Yeah. No one can even see this. That's it, the Intercut crew. We are here. I messed up the mic even more. I'm your co-host, Arturo Zurita, joined as always by Zachary Shevich, joined every day in the icy slopes of Utah. And by slopes, we mean the roads. Amanda the Jedi, we have been here for
five days.
Feels like 5 weeks. We've seen a good amount of movies, but we are here to tune in and talk about some of our favorite movies from the festival.
Yeah.
What we've been thinking of the festival, how we've been surviving the festival, all that good stuff. But we're kind of split on whether this year is better than last year's. But for the most part, it's still been a decent
time. It's been good.
It's been fun. It's been good.
We always enjoy our times at Sundance, and it's just exciting to see movies in this way, you know, where we come in with so little pre-expectations or things clouding our judgment. We get to just like open up a movie fresh. And I think there's been a few movies that we've seen this year where like you go into them and you don't even really know much about what's going to go on.
Yeah.
And then they take you for a ride.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I would say that this year I find the descriptions for certain things have been pretty lacking. Like once you actually sit down, like there's movies I thought were going to be like super ethereal and they're like the furthest thing from it. There's other ones that like don't want to blow their load for the premise. Yeah. So you don't even know what you're getting, but I think we've been making good choices. We had good choices at the gate and it's been paying off, you know?
I like how we've had over unders of coming out of a movie and going, so was it really a buoy? Was it really a satellite? Yeah, it's been pretty good. I've only seen a couple of movies that have done the Sundance 2019 thing where it's the last image is the promotional image.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good with it. I agree with you. We go into some movies and we're like, wait, the actors who I thought were in it are like barely even in it. Or I thought the premise was going to go this way. It goes another way. But there's been a bunch of really great stuff from TV Glow, Real Pain. What else? We covered Love Me. So we have a bunch of videos that are going to be coming out as well. But one big difference that we've been saying is that it seems like it has scaled down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are theaters that are no longer open in Park City or Salt Lake.
Even the Eccles, which is kind of one of the, if not the iconic venue, then one of the iconic venues is not going to be playing movies for the entire 10 days of the festival, just the first few.
Yeah. And especially for like a lot of people come to visit, we didn't get to do some of like the DoorDash stuff that's on Main Street, but just the banners, the way that they decorate a lot of the things has kind of been left to the, like the films themselves, not Sundance. So there hasn't been a lot of places where like you go and Sundance is like sponsored by Stanley and you know, they're like giving you Rise and Acura stuff. But there's been very few movies that have actually given out stuff. We had the chance to go to one for a documentary out of everything.
The only thing I've seen give out for an actual movie so far is, well, there's two. There's Between the Temples gave out earmuffs and Dee Dee was giving out beanies.
And that's coming again from the movie. So it leaves you at this point where it's like, unless it, none of you have the earmuffs, do you?
They're upstairs.
It's so adorable because it's between the temples and it's technically, it's between your temples.
Yeah. And also earmuffs in a cold place like Sundance.
It makes sense. Those Yetis when they were giving them out. It makes sense. Leave it to a doc to be one of the only ones. And I had told Alina, I'm like, Alina, we need to see this documentary. It's very important. And she was like, I don't know. It's a documentary. She's the one who dragged me to it. I was so happy when I saw that they had beanies there. And feel it. It's the stretchy beanie, too.
It's good material.
Yeah. So, of course, I went to the back and I got an extra one. So, whichever one of you guys want.
Oh, I mean, you're a big beanie person. I can give it to you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We can fight.
You're a really nice guy, boy.
Oh,
come on. Come on, dude. I went to the back. I was like, let me see what we got here.
Thank you.
Dude, they're so comfortable. And that's my biggest promo. Oh, thank you. Toss it to
them. I'm going to be honest. My grandmother loves hummingbirds, so I might wear it for the season.
Oh, then you need to go see this movie. It was a pretty adorable
to grandma.
Hummingbird movie.
Yeah.
I'll be the model.
There you go. Oh, look at that. Right here we have at QVC Intercut. things that I guess we can't even sell. But yeah, so it's been a little scaled down. But nonetheless, like we're the people who are here for the movies.
We are.
Like, all that really matters to us is whether it's here in our, you know, the virtual screenings we've been doing at home with the screener links and the VODs or just going to the theater. Like we've been seeing so many people more concerned about like who's going to pick something up. What are the Oscar chances? We come home and we're like crying about why the TV glowed. Like, our big thing is the movies. And out of the stuff that you've seen so far, for the people who are at Sundance who need to see things in person, what are your picks? And with the VOD starting Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday? Yeah, 24th.
Yeah, 24th.
What are your picks virtually as well that you think people should be keeping an eye out? Just movies in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all really responded to a film that unfortunately isn't going to be available online in It's What's Inside, which was the big news, the big pickup of the day with Netflix coming in for $17 million. Not cheap. That's the fifth biggest sale we've seen at Sundance ever, which is a pretty significant number for a company like even a company like Netflix. But, you know, I feel like sometimes they're paying a little bit extra for that, like, we're keeping it out of theaters thing. You don't get the share of box office. And I don't know. We all are a little disappointed that that's where it ended up, because it is such a fun movie in the movie theater.
Yeah, with the sound design, too. Like, it does a lot. You want to, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it feels like it's sort of this year's Talk to Me, for lack of like a better way of talking about it. But
and praising it. Yeah,
I think it's still, even though it'll be on Netflix, I think it could still be a big breakout hit.
And for the record, she's still got Talk to Me all the way at the shelf. I think this one gets really close. Zach thinks they're like neck to neck.
Yeah. And there's some ways that
I like it a lot.
They both exceed each other in different ways, and that Talk to Me is maybe a little bit more sadistic. This one's a little bit more like rowdy and fun.
Yeah, this one's more rowdy and fun. I feel like vibe wise, it vibes very similar to Bodies, 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 but like less Gen Z, more millennial.
Y'all coming around to Bodies? Please.
I have to watch it again. I've only watched it the one time. I got to watch it again.
You know, I brought it with me, so.
I will. And there's just even some of the premise setup feels a bit like Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Yeah. So there's some similarities there. I will still put Talk to Me ahead. I do still think Talk to Me is a scarier movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
this is more unsettling. This is more unsettling. Scary.
Like when you, and it is a thing, if you really get into the headspace of what is happening, it will viscerally terrify you if you think about it happening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I went up to the one guy, Cyrus, in there. He has such an actor's face, and he was really goofy. So it was nice coming up to him. But I agree with you guys. It's one that you need a really good screen and really good audio for the mixing. We've already set our minds on rewatching it again at South by. The South by list, I know we're talking about Sundance, the South by list is already out.
Yeah.
And it's one of the selections for the spotlight that they have over there. So if you don't have the chance to see it here, so it's already getting picked up for other festivals. Yeah. And to go off of your Talk to Me thing, Talk to Me premiered here. And then technically this movie got the same spot.
Premiered in an Australian festival.
Yeah. What's that?
Talk to Me. What's that? It's an Australian movie. Be play. But yeah, no, that's the thing. It premiered here, and then it gets the huge shows. South by is a very good horror atmosphere. Yes.
It kind of ends up being their victory lap or
whatever. It's the victory lap. It's the rowdy crowd where you can kind of have more of that, maybe the TIFF experience where people are kind of really getting into it, and it's encouraged to get into it, which is nice. I do like that vibe.
It's got that midnight sense to it.
Yeah.
So keeping with the midnight, we had Wiley. Shout out Wiley. Yo. He said, I just got to know. How was my girl Phoebe Bridgers? And I saw the TV glow. I'm going to let y'all take that away because I think y'all are the boy genius, right? Boy genius. So yeah, man. I listen.
You listen. It's funny. I know all of them, but I don't actually listen to Boy Genius. I need to.
Yeah, I actually don't really listen to Boy Genius.
I just know all of them. And I know them separately. And Phoebe Bridgers, I just know a lot because of literally, I only started listening to Phoebe Bridgers a lot after I used to be funny. But I've listened to her a fair amount, but I'm one of those old people. I basically just listen to the same music that I've been listening to since I was 14.
Oh, I thought you guys were big fans. And
I just know her. No, they're gay. Of course, I'm a big fan.
I've seen her live once.
You know,
I thought she looked cool.
Cool. She looked cool as hell. They pulled it off, and it was with Sloppy Jane. So it was it was a good lap run. The music in that movie is just all fantastic. So Phoebe Bridgers is not actually an actor in the movie. She's just
a musical appearance.
She's playing music.
Guitar. Which is one of the interesting things about I Saw the TV Glow. We talked about this a little bit in our review, but there's Jane commissioned a bunch of songs originally for the movie. So
funny.
If you have a similar sense of music taste as Jane Schoenbrunn, you're going to be really happy with
Apparently
I Saw the TV
I
Glow.
It was good shit.
Yeah, we have a whole review for the TV Glow. So keeping on just with the midnight section. Why is that the winner this year? I might have to add a category for the Intercut Awards.
Dude.
And it's going to be, what is the standout section? Because that's how we cover it.
Crushing it this year.
It is insane.
And it's all different vibes for the stuff that's crushing it.
What's the next one that comes to mind?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Tell me.
Lesbians. No, I'm joking. No, Love Lies Bleeding. It was interesting. I showed up really early for that. So people had me psyched out. Apparently there was test screenings where people were getting sick. So I thought this was going to be Possessor. And it's not like it's pretty. It's like it's
gory.
There is some gore, but it's like fantastical to the extent. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it gets to the point where it gets squirmy, because mm-hmm. it's not. It never hits the point where I feel like that could be happening to me, I guess. So it doesn't flip that barrier. It's good though. It's like, it's got a very gritty vibe. Like, it's really, it's taking place in 1989. So it's really trying to channel that aesthetic, and it's doing a good job with it. New Mexico. And it's really channeling that aesthetic without like oversteering into it to be like, this is happening in 1989. But it's got, I don't know. I really liked it. And, Kristen Stewart, fantastic performance in that. I think, Katie O'Brien. Fantastic. She built. And like, it was really cool just to hear, like, they were doing all the rehearsals and the filming, and then she was doing 3 hours of training on top of that every single day, because that's what is required to build that kind of muscle.
I don't say too many kind things about Ant-Man Quantumania, but she was pretty good in it.
She was good
in it. And I'm glad she's finally in like a better movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember her?
I barely remember Quantumania, bro.
She was like the really big, she was a big girl. Like, I don't know, she was muscular. She had a whole
six-pack. I remember her in this. I'll definitely remember in this.
I realize what this movie is. It's what people want a promising young woman to be. I think critique that we've heard of people talking about promising young woman and what that pitch in the trailer, I think this gives people what they wanted. If you were someone who was disappointed with that one, then I think this might be right up your alley.
Yeah, definitely less of like the obvious social commentary that is in Promising Young Woman, but in terms of vibes, in terms of revenge and violence and stuff like that, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say we actually had like a little debate about this, a gay movie versus a queer movie.
Right. What you were sort of bringing up the idea of whether or not this qualifies as like a queer film.
Yeah. And I don't think it does. Yeah. So it's a gay movie.
What's because the prerequisite?
Gay. Well, so I was thinking, so queer movie, because you can have movies with only straight characters that are queer coded. So like The Matrix can be queer coded for the trans experience.
Yeah, or you can talk about something like I Saw the TV Glow, which is implicitly about
a queer story, implicitly a queer experience. Whereas like if you swapped out Kristen or Katie with a dude, you could have the same movie.
It's not about
two lines of dialogue.
It's not about who acts in it.
Well, no, if we're just talking like ticking a box, like does this movie have queer characters in it? It does.
So it's a queer movie, but is it the queer experience movie? You know what I mean? So
like the Bechdel test?
No, not even Bechdel test. Oh, I don't know. Okay. So if you were acting in a movie, would you call it a Hispanic movie if it didn't have anything about like your Hispanic, like anything about Hispanic culture?
Will it get us the budget?
Yes, but that's why for the marketers,
that's what I'm saying.
If I was reviewing it, the word queer never would have come to my mind the same way it would for TV Glow. It was actually in someone else's review. I saw queer and it immediately just, my brain was like, is it? Because I don't think it's not a queer movie. It's a movie with gay characters, but that experience doesn't actually have anything. Yeah. Like I said, you could swap out any of those characters, make that a straight relationship, and you have the same movie.
Very little of the things that happen in the movie occur explicitly because the characters are gay.
Other than the U-Hauling.
And interaction with Jim Bros at the beginning.
But that you could, yeah, but like that's a little thing. That's not like, that's just making it go
and
most passing.
Of that interaction could happen with straight characters too.
Straight character, scrawny dude.
Okay.
Scrawny dude. You could like flip it up and literally have the same homophobic
it's
slurs.
It's kind of like the different shades of it too, right? Like, I don't know if I would say like everybody who says this is a queer movie is wrong.
No. That's exactly what I mean.
I thought it was respectfully pretty gay.
That's what I mean. It's gay. Is it queer? And I don't know if there's actually a distinction. This is what I mean. This is what I mean. I had this whole thing. There's my brain. It was just instantly. And I've been trying to work through this.
I'm so curious.
Literally, in the literal sense, yes, it's a queer movie because there's queer characters. But is it trying to do anything with the queer experience specifically?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that I think, no. A little bit. Like there are some lines of dialogue that tie into it, but it's like the movie itself, I don't think, is trying to say anything deeper about a gay relationship or a gay culture.
We'll get more into discussion for our actual
I'm gonna be there for your TED talk day one for sure. The Hispanic point's a big thing because we talked about that as well. It's like I think when we were discussing Blue Beetle had come out, and I'm like, but what are the Hispanic movies? And I think one was like Miguel Gets in a Fight or whatever that movie was called. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, he's Hispanic, but like the movie really has nothing to do with that. He could have been Mikey.
Yeah.
So I feel
something
that.
Like that. Yeah. So like you're not wrong if you say it's a queer movie and if I had to make a list, I would probably still want to include it just cause so it's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a weird thought I had when I saw
true
it,
queer movies would be like Love Me.
Yeah, that's a stop. Yeah.
Like, we realized like right before going in, Amanda's like, why does this have the LGBTQ tag? And then it happens in the movie. We could just like
that was a box.
We're like, that's okay. They made it. They did check it right at the end. Yeah.
Our Love Me review is also on the channel.
For, there you go. On that. Perfect. And we do get into that a little bit.
We have thoughts.
I have one more hard that we can talk about.
Talk about it.
Presence.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Yeah. Oh, tell me. Yeah.
The new from Soderbergh. Mm-hmm. And it's a really.
That's a premiere, though, right?
I think it is in the premiere category, but it's at least horror tinged. It's not, again, not the scariest.
No.
Mystery horror.
But it's unique. It's very unique. Very unique, very cool concept. Yeah. People might debate on how well it was executed. I think it was executed good enough to be highly entertaining for me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really executed well. Yeah. I mean, it's Soderbergh, right? So he's a craftsman, and he's really approaching this in a way that's very considered. I love how it's shot. I know that's probably going to be a sticking point for some people, but it makes the movie singular.
That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's such a unique concept, and I do think they do it well, and they keep it smooth so that it's not jarring.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been really easy to just have it all wild, but it's very smooth. No, I really like it. Like I said, my biggest issue with that is just like there's some cringe dialogue, but it's very specifically one character.
Julia Fox.
And it also specifically is.
No, she was great, actually.
It's not Julia?
It's not Julia.
Sorry,
don't tell me who it is.
She's not in it much, but yeah, no.
It's also specifically a character who like is a high schooler. So high schoolers are pretty cringe.
Okay. It's true, but it's just like, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've said things in similar vein. Not really, but like we've all been cringe as teenagers, and we've all like tried to make things bigger than they are through speech. But yeah, to see that you think you're deeper than you actually are when you're like 17.
All right. We saw My Old Ass. That was definitely up that alley, you know? Right there.
Yeah, is that another one that we're talking about the ones that are only playing here in Sundance?
But yeah, My Old Ass would definitely be one. It is the follow-up to
the Fallout,
which I think we all agree is a little bit better.
I think it's significant.
Obviously, this is funner.
This is funny.
And it is such a goofy movie that's got dialogue that's so whippy. The reactions from the lead in this movie, she was a standout.
She was great.
Yeah, a discovery too.
Yeah, What's her name? Maisie.
Maisie Stella, who has been in absolutely one thing.
Yeah.
But one of y'all pulled up a fun fact
that she wrote an original song for The Fallout.
So
that makes sense.
There you go. The connection was already there. Yeah. And this one's a movie where her and her friends who have like really good banter, and they end up bringing back.
Yeah.
I feel like she hasn't aged. I knew it was her, but it's like this girl doesn't age.
Maddie Ziegler.
Yeah.
She's in the movie as one of the trio friends who go try shrooms before they're all going to like leave for college and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she ends up tripping so hard. She talks to an older version of herself. I wanted a little bit more Aubrey, but this movie, I don't know. I thought it was funny throughout. There were some moments that felt very, I don't want to call it mainstream, but had like bits that I think are meant to like, I don't know.
The cultural relevance?
Kind of, yeah.
They'll only be funny now?
Yeah, like it was like sometimes it feels like a really quirky indie movie, mm-hmm. and then other times it feels like a really big production, and it's right. like, that was so much money spent for this.
That's fair.
But it hit for the most part for me, and I thought the ending was fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah, we're all in the age where I think we sort of like, feel our connection to the younger self slipping away and returning into the Aubrey Plaza. So like, I don't know, for me, it really, really hit just in the passage of time and the reprioritizing of things as you do get a little bit older and, you know, appreciating your family and stuff like that. But it's also very funny. You know, I think that's the thing that ultimately makes this movie so entertaining is that the characters feel really authentic. They feel do. Their relationships are very lived in, and their banter is just really entertaining.
Mm-hmm. And as Magnitude brought up in the chat, this one's also one of the big ones from Margot Robbie, who's producing. It's Margot versus Emma Stone.
They're crushing it. And it's not even versus because they're besties. They're probably like, oh, you did that. That's so good.
I know. That's
and
the best
they're like,
part
oh, you did that. I wanted that. Like, you know, it's not actual competition there. It's
because
you know?
Emma's winning right now because you got the better one. I'm just saying.
But you know, it's cool, you know?
Out of the other premieres, Thelma was pretty cute. You guys have not finished the link for that one yet. The ending is the best part.
I'm very excited.
Okay, so it you need to so like, don't.
I thought we were gonna watch like, that one together
cute.
As a group.
I will watch that ending with you guys because she actually does a really good job in it. It's June Squibb's first leading role ever.
Woo-hoo. 92, 94, something over there.
She's in her 90s, yeah.
It's, and it's popcorn boy himself, Fred Heckinger.
He's looking good. I like the beard on him.
Yeah, the beard works. Did you not see Hell of a Summer?
I like it.
Uh-huh. Did you not see Hell of a Summer? Because he has the beard in Hell of a Summer.
I did not see Hell of a Summer.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. I saw the beard and I did not watch it. Maybe. Ghostlight is another one. It was actually the premiere movie that we saw at the festival and was the premiere movie of the festival.
Yeah. Eugene Hernandez, the new festival director, who's starting this year.
He was following us at the beginning. Like, I don't know. Well, I guess we just had the master schedule the big ones were.
Yeah, we did.
And I was very excited for this one because it comes from the team, the duo that did St. Francis. Yeah. I still think St. Francis is a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Definitely watch St. Francis. I did not love
that. Yeah, Ghostlight's the one that I feel like like reading the description and looking at the picture, I was like, is this like some really ethereal experiential movie? It's not at all. It's like the ass opposite in a good way.
Yeah.
So I was like, I only went because you guys were going and I was like, oh, this is so much different than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it was good.
It's very lovely, but it also has like a pretty profound take on grief. Like
I thought it was.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think so.
And also it does some interesting things with theater and literature and family dynamics. And speaking of the family dynamics, the lead is his wife and his daughter are all real life family. So I think that adds that layer of just believability to all the performances.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, because they said that the main actor wasn't there. You were telling me that the daughter was from Margaret.
Yeah, I did tell you that. Yeah.
With all of them being related, and they said it's really our story. Knowing the movie, like, how deep did that go? Because it's also about mourning the loss by going into theater. South by is going to have Sing Sing, which has been touted as like one of the biggest versions of this type of premise where you use art, what you were saying, to get over grief and heal. I thought that was pretty solid. So I'm excited to see what they do next, and I'm glad.
And it's also the kind of movie that I think is mainstream enough that it's easy to recommend. It's easy to watch with people.
Right.
You know, it's not super, super challenging in how it's presented.
Yeah,
this
not
material.
At all.
It's great.
It did choose violence, though.
It did choose violence. It did.
Because Dolly De Leon said, I'm going to snatch the Queen of Sundance title from Aubrey Plaza. She's in two movies this year, and I think she topped her.
I mean, we got to talk about it, though, because there's a couple people who've showed up in two places. I don't think we're going to give this award to Justice Smith, because as much as we liked him in TV Glow, buzz on the
Society, and it's not even him in the movie. It's him doing interviews for that.
Yeah, it is, exactly. It's
and it sucks because I think someone asked about this earlier, since you're mentioning it right now. Someone asked about Dave Franco and Ed Harris.
For Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah.
And we got to see Ed Harris. I love Dave Franco. He's adorable.
He's adorable.
Yeah. Ed Harris is the man.
Bro. Yeah, man.
Amanda posted that fun interaction with Dave Franco.
Yeah, very fun interaction. No spoilers. It's just like, Twitter. You know, Dave was just talking about like how he prepped for the character. And it was actually funny because I had the same reaction where I was like, oh, don't go down this avenue with your character. And then Kristen Stewart just bops in with that. Oh, shut the fuck up. And I was like, perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah. But Ed Harris has got that swag on stage.
Oh, he was just kind of like, I don't have a microphone. I don't need to talk. Oh, now I have a microphone.
He's cool.
It was good.
I have to give it to Dolly because, Justice Smith does give probably his best performance ever in TV Glow.
Yeah. And there's also Renate Renisve, who we haven't seen Handling the Undead yet.
Yeah, she's in two.
All right, let's talk about the last one to mention here in the premiere category before we get into the ones that y'all can actually catch at home very, very soon. A Different Man we just caught this morning, fresh out of it. Bro. Oh, thank you. This movie tricked me because I thought it was Adam Pearson
The first half of the movie.
When I tell you that is the best compliment I could give the team behind this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then the way they still incorporate Adam Pearson, this is a movie where they decided to not show a face on this thing at all. Let me see, change poster over here, where Sebastian Stan is a guy, an actor technically, who wants to go through a major surgery in order to be able to get the roles that he wants.
Yeah, because he has a deformed face. Mm-hmm. So he's introduced to this new medical procedure that can like cure that, I guess.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a really fascinating examination of like identity and like getting what you want versus what you actually it's like
very smart.
Very smart.
I like has like vertigo elements to it. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
It was very cool.
I would definitely keep this one on the radar.
You know, definitely some deeper meaning there. You know,
As opposed to what some TikTokers think.
Yeah.
The thing is that like I didn't realize it was A24, but I felt like it was A24.
It was,
and it really had that A24 flavor.
It was maybe the A24ist.
You know how disrespectful that is to like people who actually direct movies.
I know.
And then they're like, wait,
we're subtweeting.
Is there some auteur here? It must be A24.
And honestly, I don't agree.
What?
Yeah.
No. It doesn't actually feel like an A24. A24.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, you're a YouTuber, so you're the worst version of what I think a YouTuber is. Oh, you did something different in a movie. Then you're A24. It's just the default thing people say.
I would have pegged it as a neon.
What's a Netflix movie?
to me, it's like Red Notice, because that's what I think about when I think of Netflix.
But technically, it's also Glass Onion.
Yeah, yeah. The Irishman.
So, yeah, I guess Marriage Story.
It really depends on who
The A24 as pejorative thing is just like, this movie did something kind of outlandish and I wasn't willing to go there with them.
Right.
That's exactly what
all that means for people. But yeah. I would highly recommend this one. But moving on to the stuff that people will be able to see, the U.S. Dramatic Competition, that is the big category that has brought all of the best ones. I mean, we made a whole preview for this, so y'all can definitely check that out.
What Whiplash, the greatest Sundance movie of all time.
Which I'm Team Whiplash over here. They
released their top 10 over of the 40 years of the festival that we got to vote on.
Everybody got to vote.
To vote on. And the movie that came out number one ended up being Whiplash. I kind of feel like they could have given it to Sex Lies and Videotapes.
No. I'm happy with the pick. What would you pick for this year as the best one you've seen so far?
From the U.S. Dramatic Competition?
U.S. We're missing half.
True, right.
We've seen a good chunk.
Yeah, we have seen a good chunk, and I think we've seen a lot of the ones that people are particularly excited about.
I don't even know what's in that category.
I got you right here.
Thank you.
All right, let's go. Let's start with the best one,
Real Pain.
Yeah.
It's going to be Real Pain.
For me, it's a Real Pain because that's my favorite movie of the festival so far.
Same with me.
Tell me.
I mean,
go watch it. Thank you.
Look, it's Jesse Eisenberg's second movie. We liked his first one. This one is better.
Yeah.
Better. It is the story of him and his cousin traveling to Poland and sort of going through the places that their grandmother used to be. And it's an exploration of like generational trauma and the Holocaust and strained family relationships. But I think they put so much into this movie. Mm-hmm. It's so smart in the way that it tries to articulate not only like the history that goes into these types of relationships, but just that navigating different people's trauma and the complexities that we hold within. I don't think I've cried this much in a movie in a couple of years. And I have some personal reasons for that, but it's also the movie being really, really effective.
It's very heavy. It's very effective. It has probably, I don't think a movie is going to beat The Last Shot.
That last shot is...
And the opening shot, really. The opening, you get like just how it opened with bookend. The same kind of... Yeah, bookends.
More you learn about them, I can't even imagine rewatching some of the interactions that they have now knowing more about their characters. It's a very smart movie. He said that he has a lot of personal things in there. So
I want to know how deep that goes.
Yeah, well, the one thing that they did talk about explicitly is that at a point they shoot in a place and it's supposed to be the home that their grandmother lost.
You know what my dumb self thought that meant? I thought he shot at the house. He said, I shot at the house. I'm like, this is going to be so crazy. It's going to end with them shooting up the grandma's house.
No gunplay in this movie.
I apologize for anyone who thought it was an action movie.
But yeah, they filmed at the actual house that the Eisenberg family lived in before they were, thrown out of the country in the 1930s. So,
and the music, when we did the preview, I said, there's something fishy here. There's no composer. There's a big pivotal part of the movie. It is so personal to him that he picked, I don't even want to spoil it. He picked a certain type of music. Mm-hmm. And all of them, in my opinion, he talked about it a little bit, but he didn't get too deep into it into some other interviews outside of the Q&A. They were songs that him and his cousin learned growing up. And I'm like,
oh,
it's so good. A Real Pain. It is available, since we need to talk about this.
Right.
Starting on the virtual dates on Wednesday. Everything in the competing categories, which is the U.S. and World Dramatic, U.S. and World Docs.
And Next is in there too.
Next is in there as well, which we'll cover in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But all of these that we're going to be going through right now, you will be able to maybe scope out a ticket. A lot of stuff is sold out.
Yeah.
But if you like keep refreshing it, or maybe someone has it, find somebody in your local city who maybe has a link.
Yeah.
Throw a party.
I've seen some people even on like the Sundance Reddit and stuff like that trying to sell tickets.
Yeah, transferring digital tickets and stuff. And
and the awards.
Don't get scammed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you any of these pick up awards, they will also get a second screening, and those will go on sale later in the festival.
And I think it's definitely worth it. I think you get a little bit more bang for your buck. We are people who, as much as we get the privilege to come here, I have loved the virtual stuff. I think it helps us who are here. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea that other people have been able to go to the festivals. Shout out one of our inner cuties, Lucas. I met him at one of the screenings and he turned around. His first year was in 2020.
Nice.
He dipped in. It was a gateway for him. And now he's here.
Yeah. Someone came up to me at the very first movie, said that she was only here because of like the content that like I make and that we make doing this stuff. So, and it's like, and then literally just with the online stuff, it gives people the ability to just kind of experience from home and see if it's something they'd want to be enthralled in, entrenched.
And not to pivot too hard, and we kind of mentioned this during our preview, but Sundance is the last of these major festivals that has a significant chunk of their category of their categories online. Yeah, so it's
big props to them for that.
It's great to have that. Hopefully they continue it. We will see how long they continue with it. I am not so sure.
Yeah. But I wish more of it was still virtual. I don't think it takes away from it. They've done a good job of
protecting the movies. I've never seen anything leak.
That's exactly. They protect them pretty well. Yeah. And I think the more people get to see it, the better. Someone was laughing. They're like, they ran out of virtual links. I don't know how that happens. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I know it's dumb. That's the dumbest thing they do. And I'm like, do you not want more money?
Yeah.
Do you not want the money?
Feats,
I think maybe, I think a little bit of is a FOMO. If you know it's FOMO, unlimited, you might not buy a ticket. Yeah. If you know it can run out, you're going to be first. Yeah,
exactly. And for a lot of these films, the festival is a means of generating hype, not a means of actually distributing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we also can't make money off of the theaters that they bring in. But A Real Pain is definitely one to not miss. Mm. We talked about Love Me. You could go see your thoughts on that. We definitely think maybe wait on that one. I wouldn't spend the 20 for that one. I did catch In the Summers earlier today. I have the whole Q&A recorded for that. Really beautiful cast. It's done in four parts about two sisters as they age and they spend, you know, they go visit their father in the summers. I specifically was there. I got to say hi to him. I was like, yo, bro, what's up? Residente is a huge artist from Calle 13. He's decent in the movie. I'm not going to say like he blew me away, but I was like, yo, I'm good for you. He
serves the part.
He's transitioning fully into being like an actor, I guess.
Better or worse than Bad Bunny. He's working on a movie.
No, he mopped Bad Bunny, bro. Oh, he mopped Bad Bunny. That's for sure. He didn't get a movie canceled.
Oh, shit.
He is the lead of this movie. Because I went in there specifically, as I was telling y'all, for the actresses. Sasha from Supergirl was going to be in this.
Right.
Leo Mihail, who won the Best Actor Award last year, was going to be in this. No, they're a section of it. Mm-hmm. He is the through line. It's supposed to be telling you the story of, like, can you get the gist of the family with just these vignettes? And then she started taking away more and more things. When we were on the bus, we were like, oh, is this supposed to be implied with this? So it's one of those stories where you're literally just drifting with them. And there will be definitely a lot of takes on the father. The lady next to me was either praying or just calling out to Jesus every single time the man did something she didn't agree with on stage. So keep that one.
We'll give a quick shout out, I guess, to Exhibiting Forgiveness, one that we haven't caught yet, but our buddy Mirjani said was excellent.
His number one.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. The premise, the cast is enough that I was really intrigued with. We're definitely going to come back and talk about that.
Director's really good.
But another one that I really responded to is Stress Positions. Which I think it's Theta Hamill's debut, if I'm not wrong.
For a feature.
Because the other one was a pilot.
Right.
Or something.
Right. And it also notably stars John Early, somebody that we really like. He is incredible in this. It's written to maximize the things that he's great at, because he can do this sort of like desperation, stretching himself thing where he kind of looks pathetic, but he's also, I don't know,
he's like a
real person.
Like literally.
He literally like slipping on banana peels and stuff, right?
Someone in a waitlist line was like, I really like John Early, but that log line is too much for me. And so is the picture. It is.
It's a lot.
But we still kind of recommend it.
Yeah. No, it's really, really interesting. And it's one, like, they kind of throw so much at you. There are like five, six storylines happening. Yeah. That like, you get lost in it a little bit, especially is with the voiceover, but I don't know. There's a lot that's just really fascinating. It's one of the best 2020 movies that I've seen, just in terms of that period shortly after COVID broke out, where there's a lot of like paranoia and
curfew still in place.
Exactly. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I'm very curious to check it out again, which is probably one that we're going to rewatch since we have a digital
link. Yeah, we're just going to be laughing with that one. Owen had said, got my online tickets for A Real Pain, Between the Temples, and Ponyboy. That is a stacked list. Those are great pickups.
Yeah.
All of you personally accountable for not letting me know that Victoria Pedretti was in Ponyboy. Why isn't she on the picture?
Y'all can go back to that preview. I told this woman Victoria Pedretti was going to be here.
I don't think you did.
Well, I didn't tell you she was going to be here, but I told you she was going to be in a movie.
Did you?
Yes.
I feel like you did. Might have, and it just went.
Bro, I talked about this movie's sound designer. Ponyboy has Drake's manager.
I'm unhappy. Okay.
They've got the White Lotus composer. And they pinned this against Love Lies Bleeding for the premiere. Yeah. Ooh, I've been hearing nothing but good things for this movie, and no one's talking about it. So hopefully, once it hits the VOD, that's where the virtuals end up making a pretty big splash for a lot of movies that get lost here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm rooting for Pony Boy. Yeah. They had also mentioned another one that I'm gonna let you take away since you've got the merch.
Oh yeah, right here. Between the Temples.
Hey.
I mean, look, I knew
maybe underrating this one.
I know. I think there's a lot to really, really appreciate about it. Nathan Silver is a filmmaker who I think does a really good job of riding this line between like a little bit badgering, maybe a little bit annoying, but also just like very real and funny and kind of pathetic, but also like relatable in a way. I've been sort of thinking of this as like a melon comedy, but he, you know, Jason Schwartzman being at the center of it, I think just does such a great performance. It's sort of an evolution of he kind of does a little bit of a man child thing in a lot of his roles, and here he's really stuck in the state of arrested development because he's failing to move on after he's become a widow. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I just think there's so much to appreciate about it. It's sort of like a Harold and Maude for the sons of Jewish mothers. He's great. I really like Carol Kane in it. I know she can push a button.
She got a big grating to me. Yeah, after
I just love Carol Kane.
Just because of the way that dynamic was being
pushed. Yeah.
Because every time it would kind of get away from them too. And then him trying to process something with someone else. I always found that more interesting.
Mm-hmm. I craved a mudslide right after this.
Yeah, movie. I want a mudslide right now.
He was good in this.
He was good. He's very. Yeah. I always love him.
He's really good in this. Some other ones in this section that I think we should keep an eye out for is Dee Dee. This is one of my most anticipated as well.
I'm excited for
Dee Dee. I've only heard great things about this.
We may be waking up tomorrow. Tomorrow, 6:30.
Yeah.
A.M. for Oscars.
For the Oscars.
7:30.
8:30 for Eastern. Yeah. 5:30.
I believe this man will be getting an Oscar nomination for Live Doc for the short that he did about his grandmothers. So I'm gonna put that right now. Hey. That's what I want to see nominated tomorrow. Nice. And Dee Dee, I want to see as soon as freaking possible.
Very excited. For
I might even make it out to the theater for this one. This one looks pretty good. Suncoast, I know, got picked up. So my advice is don't pay $20 to see Suncoast right now. When
it's gonna be on Hulu February 9th.
How many months can you get Hulu?
really, I just
before they keep up in the price. Just to me, that's like if you're gonna see it virtually, then you're still gonna see it. Virtually, like just wait for it. And then Good One, I think, might be the last one of this list. I told you guys that it's a very patient movie, it's very slow.
I'm excited for it.
But it packs a punch. I keep thinking of that moment.
Nice.
And I can't wait to talk about that one with you guys.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That is the US Dramatic World Cinema Dramatic. We have seen very few here.
Yeah.
But I think so far the best one is a movie that I don't know how I could recommend because we believe it's gonna be NC-17.
Sebastian. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you are okay with extreme graphic sexual content, which who isn't okay with that?
I'm pretty sure there's like just a flat out a clip of porn.
Porn, yeah.
They just went. Yeah.
You liked it though.
I do like it. You could argue that it, like some of the sex might go over the top, it's gratuitous, but it is actually such an important part to the character that it doesn't feel gratuitous or over the top because it's needed because that plays into what's going on.
It is
so
a
much.
Very decided response to the idea of like our sex scenes actually integral to movies. That Twitter prompt that goes around.
Yeah, but
months.
For this movie, I think it is because that's a huge part of what's going on with him as a character. That like it's the something starts as one thing, becomes another thing, and then becomes this other thing that you don't even want to acknowledge that it is that thing now.
He's a journalist who ends up writing about sex work, but he's not talking to sex workers. He is the sex worker. And he's like, I call him Peter Parker because he needed to get photos of Spider-Man, but like no one knew who he was really talking to.
Yeah.
It's a good performance. It's also in really English. I always forget that the world cinema is allowed to be in English. So
we're not the only country that speaks English.
We're not the only country. I did not realize that. Except in Australia, bro. I got to figure out how they write.
I'm not sure it's English. It's like English or something.
Yeah, how do you teach Ben? Like what are the accents on that? I gotta go down under at one point. Girls Will Be Girls was a decent movie.
I'm excited for that one.
We have a link to this, so hopefully you get to catch it because this reminded me of probably a better version of the movie that you didn't care for too much last year that won the award.
True. Which one was that?
If anyone could tag me in on this one, it won like a really big award. It's her mother who went through her whole story and now she's going through it and she's married to a guy.
Persian version.
There we go. You have this relationship between the mother and her daughter and how she sees things compared to how the girl sees it. And she's like, you're just holding me back and doesn't really see her mother's point of view. World Dramatic Lady Bird, if you needed it.
All right.
But the ones that we're looking forward to, I think we all agree on these top three right here. Veni Vidi Vici, they spoil something for me.
Oh no!
And I can see why they're pushing things towards the end. But I heard it gets dark.
Really? I've heard it was kind of disappointing.
I heard people were disappointed with the dark humor they were going for. I'm so excited.
I'm ecstatic because yeah, that was supposed to be day one, but then we couldn't fit it in around everything. Yeah.
Sujo's gonna be another good one because it comes from the director who did Identifying Features. Better most anticipated. Handling the Undead. I heard good things, and then y'all told me y'all heard mixed.
Mixed.
So,
mixed.
Where are we at?
It's kind of across the board, I'm hearing. So
this one is picked up by Neon. Does it have a date?
I don't think so.
Not for America.
I heard it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with slow as long as it delivers.
As long as it's good. This would be the second one that has Renata.
Renat. I think it's Reinsve.
Reinsve.
She was really good in A Different Man.
She's
really good in A Different Man.
Yeah.
She's the lead in this. It's also reuniting her with the boy. Anders. I'm excited for this one. It's based on a book. There's a trailer out already. This would be a good one to have on the radar.
She also is doing an interesting Sundance double in that I believe this one is in her native Norwegian, whereas A Different Man is in English. And she's
really
English.
Good. She's very fluently English, which I guess makes sense. Most people are, but still, she's very fluent.
But the way she was able to play with some of the lines. Let me go through some questions over here since we've gone through the U.S. and the world for the things that we recommend as they start. Last category that we'll go through really quickly is the next, since that's the last one that people can really...
No doc shout outs?
I did. I gave you a present. there's a...
that's movie. The only one?
Actually, you're right. Let me go really quick through some of them because we haven't gotten too many. The biggest one, I guess, would be what you were most anticipating, Girl State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, it's the follow-up to Boy State, which is one of the best documentaries of the past few years. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us immediately left Boy State and was like, well, what about Girl State? We have to go back.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting take. I don't personally know if it reached the levels that Boy State did for me. I think you thought maybe it did.
Maybe I would have to watch Boy State again. Yeah. I do think it needed to go deeper in areas. They didn't want to be more involved in an area where I think they actually should have done more.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're trying to kind of keep their hands off, but I think in a way that changes the resolution of the documentary.
I think so.
But I think what's interesting about it is that in the way that Boy State sort of reflected the things that are really uncomfortable or frustrating or aggravating about our modern politics, this was more reflecting the ways that women are often kept out of modern politics.
Yes. And,
you know, so it's form follows theme in a way, but I could see why some of it is maybe feels lacking by comparison.
They said this is in all 50 states.
Yeah. And then
why don't they do New York? Why don't they show it where like it actually like,
because they wanted this one because it was the first one where they were both in the same place other than apparently Hawaii where it's always in the same place, but I think they wanted the distinction.
I thought they said Hawaii didn't do it.
No, I think they said Hawaii was the only one they're not separate. So I think it's like together. I think they wanted the one that was going to be the first one where they were on the campus at the same time to really see that dichotomy
and it adds some tension to it
too. Does and there's also just some lines that will feel like they're scripted, but it's just like
this the same way that Boy State did, where you just see interactions and you're like, it can't be scripted,
but it's just like it was so good because you think anyone even has a setup where you think it's going one way, and then it goes another. I'm like, oh my god,
poor girl,
that girl's gonna get cooked.
It's almost like it can't be scripted because it's too good,
exactly.
No, it's also because you look at her and then she says, and you're like, if I pick 10 other kids, they'd say the same thing.
And they hard cut away too. I was like, oh my, it was so
shout out the girls in this. We have seen them in so many screenings because if you're a part of these movies, they give you like a badge to go join the press lines. They are about that movie life. Shout out to them. They've been in more movies than we have sometimes.
Well, so, I get it. You know, it's exciting. You're here. You're not actually an actor. You don't necessarily have to worry. But
they said they were politicians, not reviewers. They're damn near taking our jobs at that point. They've been seeing some good stuff, though.
Good for them.
And Girl State, definitely a standout.
Drop the Letterboxd.
Yeah, please drop the Letterboxd.
That'd be sick, right? Look, there's not that many other ones that I can talk about because I haven't seen them because this year they decided to be very stingy. You know, I'll watch all my docs before I go. Those are usually the ones that share the most. Other than, again, Every Little Thing, it came from the director who did, hopefully, Academy Award nominated The Wiggles. She did bring it up, too. She brought up The Wiggles. Yeah, I was so happy when she said that. She is a funny director. She's Australian. She has that spunk to her and was talking about the difference between playing with sharks, which I still prefer a little bit more because it's sharks.
Yeah.
But she's like, nah, the hummingbird story is just, if not more important, because she said that reading the book that this is about, because it's about a woman who helps hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. it helped the director out with a lot and the producer as well. And I think that the book may cover more things that the movie doesn't. So that was my only thing. I feel like you need to get into the nitty gritty of like what happened and what caused her to then be so helpful to these birds and how it relates, how the birds are practically human, the way that you take care of them. Some insane footage though of the hummingbirds. Those are freaky birds. And Black Box Diaries is going to be the only one that I shout out because they did send a link, and so I feel excited. Like this is going to be,
dude. This was in my top wild concept one. For a dog.
So we'll be talking about that very soon.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to
for tomorrow's
Daughters or
Daughters. Yeah, go.
Yeah, that's just another one that I'm anticipating crying like a baby at. Sounds really interesting. I really want to see Union, which we haven't seen yet. I really want to see As We Speak, which is the one about
the rapper one?
Rap lyrics being used in trials, which is fascinating.
Evelyn.
Yeah, Evelyn.
One I'm most excited for.
We're ready
for.
To be devastated picked, right? by that one, too. Yeah, who picked that one up? I don't even remember.
Let me see if I can see it over here.
Yeah,
describe the premise.
Well, it's this documentary about a kid who spent a lot of time online and who
has like a muscular, like either dystrophy or sclerosis, but the one that like when you get when you're young, is really just kind of like a ticking time bomb. So I think it's going to hit for me because I grew up with a friend who had muscular dystrophy.
Netflix.
Honestly, that for docs, I'm okay with docs going on.
Yeah, they give docs a big platform. Yeah. So,
March 8th. So you won't be missing it very soon. Oh. This is available for you to stream. But again, March 8th,
it's like already on Netflix.
To me, I would just wait for it at that point. But yeah, the idea that they thought he never left his room when in reality he had this whole virtual game world
and made all over the world.
All around the world. Beautiful. I'm going to cry like a baby.
Are not leaving the house that day. That's for sure. We are leaving the house tomorrow for one thing.
Will and Harper.
I think this is the one. It's happening really right now as we speak. I think they're
the premiere.
They're leaving.
Yeah.
I realized something.
What?
I hate Will Ferrell. As an actor, not as a person. As a person, he actually seems quite nice. I loved him in Quiz Lady. I loved him in Stranger Than Fiction. I hate him as a lead comedy actor.
It's only the greatest comedy actor of the last 20 years, but it's not a big deal.
I'm sorry, Rachel Sennett.
Anchorman?
Come on.
No, I don't like his comedy style. I don't. Maybe.
Step Brothers.
Nope.
If you're not first, you're last. Where's that from? I'm Burning? Oprah? Nothing? Semi-pro.
Definitely not that. Oh my God. I like him in Wedding Crashers because he's only in it for like 10 minutes.
Here's Daddy's the thing. Home too.
That Daddy's video of him DJing a party at a frat house at USC.
Yeah. that was fun.
Cool.
So he's playing himself, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I do actually like him. Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. I just liked what he brought to Quiz Lady. I don't know. I really liked him as a more calm actor. Right. I've never really been into the big, if I had to pick the Stranger big personality, the that's what I did say. I like that one. I said I like that one. Mm-hmm. I like Night at the Roxbury too when I was younger. I haven't watched it in a while. But
this movie, doesn't that feel like it'll feature a lot of Will Ferrell acting since it's a documentary?
I am actually really excited to see it because, again, I like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
It's just like I was never huge into his comedy.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, the documentary is about his friend who came out as transgender and they go, is it like a road trip movie or something?
Yeah, they go on a road trip across America.
I think it'll be good. Yeah. I also like The Other Guys.
I've
come around there a lot on it. I say I couldn't actually, when it first came out, couldn't watch it. Now I like it a lot.
The third best Adam McKay movie.
You're lying. Elf.
Elf's okay. He's really good in it. He is really good in it because that's what I mean. But that's what I mean. That's what his personality works for. I do like Elf. Elf's cute, but it's not one of my like Christmas must watches.
Megamind?
What?
Megamind?
Dude, he was Lord Business in the Lego movie.
Zoolander is he also really
funny. Zoolander. Okay. Let's take some questions. Those were our docs, those were our US everything.
I saw
been seeing some people ask about what digital screenings they should go for, if it's worth it. Again, I'm on the side, definitely worth it.
Definitely worth
it. There's definitely
maybe not for the ones like Suncoast and Evelyn, if we know they're coming out very soon, but everything else. I mean, we've been in a situation where we don't know. Sometimes these movies play and they don't play again.
Yeah, or they literally never come out.
So that's fine.
I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case with some of these ones, but. Yeah.
Speaking of, Magnitude says, any chance you could talk about the two most controversial movies at Sundance? We have not seen one of these, and it's Sasquatch, which we heard people were walking out of because this is a movie in where Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough poop.
Yeah, they just poop and shit and fart and come in, the whole thing.
So we'll report back on that. The other one you guys will be able to comment on because it is not playing virtually and y'all saw it today.
It's a crazy house.
They want to know about Crazy House.
Garbage.
Because it supposedly had... Whoa.
Zach just dropped his phone. Yeah, it's like almost a flat line, right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's almost a flat line.
It's a crazy Letterboxd score.
It's not good. And I like weird things.
All right, tell me, because I guess this is the first movie I'm skipping at Sundance.
It's a short that they have brutally extended into a feature-length film. It's not one of the ones that I felt so annoyed that I needed to walk out of. Like, I wanted to walk out of Pool Man faster than I would have wanted to walk out of Crazy House, just because I want to see what they were going to do next. But then it's like, it's like Zach said, they do a bit, and that's the bit for the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then the last like 10 to 15 minutes, that's when I was like, I want to leave right now, but it must be almost done, right?
There are three jokes in this movie. But that's so cheesy. It's like an old sitcom. There's, you can't do that on a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And then there's sudden, unexplained, extreme violence.
Yeah.
Those are the only three notes they play, and they play them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You get 10 minutes in and you realize like, that's it. That's what the movie is. And then you're going to sit there for another 80 minutes. And I'm not going to say I sat there stone faced. I chuckled three times.
Oh, yeah, there's moments.
But I really did not want to be in that movie.
No, it hits point. And then it's also, we were mentioning, because it is made by people, they're from like Norway, Sweden?
Dutch?
Okay.
Netherlands.
It feels like somebody who's from like another country's perspective of what American sitcom and Christian culture would be.
They did a Tyrell?
Yeah, sure. If that's what we want to go with.
That's kind of what it feels like. It's like, it feels like they were like, okay, so Christianity in America, we want to make fun of that. Then we got 90s sitcom. Okay. And then it's just like without any actual understanding of what. Yeah, a little bit. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. But it just, more like, kind of like, I guess in some places in Japan, really idolize parts of Western culture, but don't necessarily.
Even understand not, what it means.
So but it's not accurate. Yeah. So it's just like random things. That and you're like.
America does it all the time.
We do it all the time. Of course. Yeah. Like, it's all animes and big titties, you know, like just, so it kind of has that vibe to it.
Damn.
It's one of my frustrations with it is that it's like, it's not a good sitcom, right? It's like the whole idea is that it's like the sitcom family and they're coming apart. But like, if you're going to base your whole thing around the idea, it's a sitcom, write it like it's an actual fucking sitcom, you know, like actually.
And then start breaking it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to ask a real quick one here, because a lot of people are talking about agreeing with you about not liking Will Ferrell. That's, we're not going to entertain
my people.
That. This is ridiculous. But your monster,
wrong with Gen Z.
Your monster was seen by, I think, you two.
Yeah.
Caitlin likes it more.
Caitlin likes it more than me. I think we both thought it was cute. My Letterboxd review of it was that it feels like it should autoplay on Paramount Plus after you're finished watching Ghosts. Like it's sitcom writing.
Okay.
And like that's fine. It's kind of broad and predictable.
What you want,
but
Zach, do you want the sitcom writing or do you not want the sitcom writing?
Choose.
No. I mean, like, it's just it's a fun idea in that this is sort of her monster come to life. But every idea that you get, like, oh, I wonder if they'll do this, like that's what it does. It doesn't surprise, it doesn't there is kind of like an interesting thematic thing going on that I don't want to spoil, but I don't know. It's not decent. Melissa Barrera is fun, but
well, that's what I wanted to ask. The girl's in it. She did not get out of,
she sells
out
it.
Of this horror movie.
She sells it. She's really funny.
Yeah. Apparently this kind of proves that some of the issues with Scream is more like the writing of the character and how they were telling her to act versus how she actually acts.
You know, I hate the direction they gave her in Scream.
Yep. Same. We've been talking about this for years.
Every Sundance we get together and we take time out to bash that. An interesting thing about this movie as well is that it's produced by someone who took her picture the first day. Executive producer Sharon Horgan took her. There was what was she again? There was a world, an international woman who took a picture, and I swear it's this lady.
No, face is too thin. Her face was too thin.
A British lady took our picture, and you
not
think
that Sharon
it's
Scottish. I'm not saying that Sharon's fat. She's got like this other woman had a very narrow face. Yeah. And
she's
an
executive producer.
They look different.
She's there on the night when
they're different, different people.
In my mind, we met her. And she's the best sister out of them all.
If it is Sharon Horgan, she's not a great photographer.
She's in front of the camera.
It's not
her fault.
Yeah, true.
Sharon, if you're out there watching, please let us know if it was you. Another question that we have over here is on a movie we haven't seen yet, but we're anticipating a lot, if we are able to search it up on the search bar. The Outrun. They want to know if Saoirse, who is mentioned in multiple movies this year.
Yeah, she is.
They want to know the Oscar status.
I hear that she is phenomenal in a pretty good movie.
I hear she's phenomenal in a not great movie.
That's what I mean. It's like, it's either way. It's either way. But just, I needed her to have another phenomenal performance, but it needed to be in a better movie, I think.
Yeah.
She needs a win.
Yeah. I mean, none of us have seen it, so we'll hopefully be able to report
back. I've got it in a few days.
I'm excited to see her do the acting. She's good at the acting.
She's so good at the acting.
But yeah, I mean, I do wonder how much legs a movie that people are already like, she's the only reason to see it, mm-hmm. is ultimately going to have. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at this year's Oscars and which people are actually contending for the awards, it's not very often people who are the only good part of a movie. Like, Coleman Domingo might be the only one who gets nominated, true, yeah. where
that
nothing
is,
else.
That's what I mean. And I think that's a good year for this, because I feel like, honestly, you know, people, we've seen people win the Oscar against Saoirse Ronan for being a character in a bad movie because the Oscars liked it. And
maybe
I'm telling
you. So now it's her come up and getting it back.
She should have got it for Little Women.
I like the director. The director made System Crasher. So I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I'm still excited for the movie.
Me too.
I think she's going to be really good in it.
Yeah. I'm stoked.
They were bringing up when we were talking about the movies that never came out. Omniboat.
Yeah. There's a whole
movie
that the Daniels participated in. And
what a whole Oscar.
Yeah.
And
still not out.
Movie's still not out. Omniboat has the whole, there's like a running bit about this like boat, right? And the idea is that like Florida goes under.
Yeah.
I think Florida will go under and be flooded by the time this movie comes out. Magazine Dreams, also.
Yeah, Magazine Dreams
one.
Is the big one I'm always thinking of.
There's another one that you're always thinking of that didn't come out.
Am I Okay? Is just set to fucking die on Max? That they haven't released it yet? I need to record something. Yeah. I need to make a bit. I need to make a TikTok bit all around that.
Just record you like trying to get into the theater doors. Like, where is Am I Okay?
Where is it? Gonna make Caitlin be my photographer, my filmographer.
We had to get serious here because we did actually get a pretty serious one. The Phil Drunk says, Jesse Eisenberg, hot or not?
I mean,
I'm gay.
I find this the question anti-Semitic.
He's Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, he's my boy. I love him. I
think he has good feet.
Yeah, right? Very, very slender.
And I think he would agree as
good
well.
Good toes.
If we're really looking at that. What's Blitz?
Are we talking? Is that the Steve McQueen movie that's not out or at Sundance?
Yeah, we still got Blitz later this year, was mentioned.
Right. Oh, because Saoirse Ronan is in that. That's why.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people agree with you. They want that Am I Okay? So we'll see how that comes out. Some people didn't even know it was dropping on Max.
Well, they picked it up two years ago. And like they just haven't released it. And I don't know if they just quietly killed it like they did everything else. And I'm going to have to like go kick door in. But I just don't understand.
We're going
to
review their tax records.
Who came up with the idea of, we got Dakota Johnson to be gay in a movie and we're not going to release the movie? Who's coming up with these ideas to not do things?
It'll come out.
Let me help you.
Release it on her channel, please.
Please.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. But yeah, that would be a bunch of the movies that are going to be in competition. Again, we have been posting all over the place. We've got Twitter threads. We've got Instagram.
Letterboxd lists.
Everything we're going to try to link down below. If you follow any of our social medias, we share everything from that. Obviously, we have a whole preview that I think still stands even after the festival.
If you want to go
look through the stuff in like the most unbiased way possible to be like, yeah, but what may be for me? We're going to be covering a lot more. We have individual videos coming out for releases, which is why we're curious.
What movies you want to see us cover, at least in like a more extended version than what we're doing now, because we're giving you the brief overview, we're giving you the thumbs up, the thumbs down, but if you want to hear us actually like get into it, actually discuss it at length, that like we did for Love Me, like we did for I Saw the TV Glow, leave a comment, leave a message in the live stream, hit us up on social media. We will base our coverage based off of what we know y'all want to see.
Y'all are the reason why we're here. So if y'all can make some of these screenings, we will trudge up to see those Sasquatches, the presence, the look into my eyes, all of those movies. But if you have any questions, and especially if you're here, always feel free to hit us up.
Yeah,
we've always had people throughout the years. Different things.
It's a lot less weird to be approached than to hear people talking about you.
Yeah, or to see it later on Twitter that you were like 5 feet behind me or something. And I didn't know.
Bro, I've had full conversations with people who I know follow me, but I'm like, I'm not sure if it's dumb. And then you turn around and then they're like, yeah, that's the guy.
And I get it. You don't want to be rude or you don't know how somebody's going to take it.
Right.
Because some people are rude. You
don't want to disturb somebody.
You can always, you know, sometimes maybe we'll be running to something and it'll be a really quick hi, bye. But like, please say hi. It makes us feel good about ourselves.
Yeah. It's the one good thing we have looking forward to the day. I had somebody who said I was at a bunch of screenings with them. And I'm like, I don't, this is the first time I've ever seen you. He goes, no, I've seen you around. And I'm like, maybe you saw the preview, but I don't think we've ever been in the same line once.
Yeah, there was one of the volunteers. It took 3 days for her to realize she watched my channel. That's first, she thought I was an actress. Then she thought I might. She was confusing me with the theater manager. Yeah. And then finally today, and yeah. I was like, "That's so sweet. That's so nice."
No, but it really is the dopest part, because you have to remember, like, the people who are coming here, the main reason you're traveling here isn't to go see movies by yourself. It's to go see movies with an audience. It's people who are networking with each other. It's people who are, like, honestly building relationships to the point that they end up being this. Like, this didn't just happen by accident. Like, we all live in completely different places. Yeah. And you start seeing them build their own, like, crews and groups of people who are going to be sharing their, because the way Sundance works is you need a group to be able to stay in a place like this, to be able to be in Park City. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen if you're not reaching out to a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. My favorite part, I know you guys have the advanced version of this that you're a little iffy with. I'm happy to see so many YouTubers here. I've been seeing a couple people. I was like, where have I seen you? I'm like, I think you did coverage for another festival. Like, you're a YouTuber here.
I like that.
When we started early, like, I was not accredited 2017, 18. It took so long paying out of pocket before, like, I was one of the first 5 or 10 YouTubers here. Mm-hmm. And the other YouTubers were, like, just the video platform that they had. They really were a website.
Yeah.
Bro, they have let so many YouTubers in here. I think it's the best thing in the world.
I agree.
Shout out to the Oscar boys who we see at a lot of these screenings.
Yeah, love Oscar the Oscar boys.
Everyone's and moving. Brother bro. Y'all have a problem with another app, though.
Okay, I don't have a problem with the app. I'm going to clarify. I actually think
I'm postponed on that app than any of us.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea to bring some, like, those higher profile TikTokers and stuff here promote the movies, help promote stuff. If the idea is you want this kind of stuff to last, you want to bring in more attention, you want to bring in more people.
Because that's one thing people keep forgetting. Just because you have a prestigious outlet, you'll get a good score. But if the goal is watching a movie, you need the people who can get the movie out there.
It is just that some of those people are saying,
disagreed with you on Saltburn.
Not even, no, it's more just like the way they're talking about things in it, or like they have reviews that are completely conflicting. Like, they're saying amazing writing, but then there's nothing deeper going on in the movie. I'm like, what is it then? Like, which...
But they did that to us. So we must be better than those before us and shepherd them.
Yeah, but
into
I feel like
light.
We have reasons to be a little bit standoffish with some of them versus people you're a YouTuber?
Here's what I'll say about a lot of the TikTokers. And it's not all of them, because there's certainly better ones than worse ones. But they've chosen to bring a few people here who specifically, I think, fall under this rubric, which is they are building a career off of a medium that they don't seem to have respect for or interest in, like, actually observing and studying, right? Like, there's people who the thing is, they talk about movies and they're just not that curious about movies, which
passionate.
To me, or not passionate. And to me, like, honestly, that is okay in certain contexts, but we're at Sundance. This is a festival that's celebrating, like, independent films and new voices and emerging ideas and pushing the boundaries of what we do in filmmaking. Mm-hmm. So show up ready to, you know, see some stuff that's going to challenge you.
Yeah, or like, ask questions. If you like the movie and you don't think it did anything deeper, but you still feel like it was really strong, maybe ask somebody why you're thinking that and have them, like, work you through something. Like, I've heard conversations that have been like, but was it a good movie or was the actor just hot? Which is, like, can be a funny question, but they were asking it seriously. And the response was, that's the thing, I don't know.
Or read some reviews from good writers.
I think some of them are doing that. They're just cherry picking the words and then just putting in the one thought they actually had. And I think that's what we're seeing. I definitely see it around a different man. Just certain things that it's like, you have a sandwich and the middle piece does not connect to the bread, you know, like, I'm happy they're here and I'm happy that people are getting opportunities, but then it ends up kind of sometimes being a weird thing where they're also getting more access to certain things than we are. Sure. And it's like, I just feel like we always end up in this weird little limbo space that, like, is starting to get better, but could be a lot better. And, like, I definitely don't want special treatment or anything, but just, like, invites to certain things, better, like, some screener links here and there.
Redford, where is our Acura car?
Yeah, give me a fucking car, man. That's all, like, I'm not asking for too much.
So yesterday we're walking back and I hear a lady vent that the Acura car is missing.
No.
They were running low on Acura cars, and none of the rich people, which is, like, what, 95% of the people here, they had no idea what to do.
Oh, no. Oh, it's rough.
At least the TikTokers aren't leaving the movies. That's still
and at least they were not given. Yeah, the industry people leave. And they're not given the express passes.
Not yet.
Circling back to Crazy House, 25 walkouts. That's the most I've seen so far.
Yeah, Crazy House had a lot, and it probably would have been more
if it was, like, a public.
If it was public, or if it had been longer, because I was getting towards the end, it was really overstaying its welcome, and I kept being like, okay,
we did walk out while the credits were happening. So
yeah,
wow, yeah. We don't even stay.
We don't normally do that.
You didn't even get to see the company three.
Nah.
Whoa.
It might not have been company three, but it probably was.
Yeah, so it was just was. Yeah, no, that was not good. But yeah.
Any other stories from Sundance being here on the scene? Things you're disappointed are no longer here.
The wait list is really bad this year.
It's a little different for sure. Shout out the volunteers. That's
the volunteers. It's not the volunteers. The volunteers are always amazing.
A lot of stress at the beginning, but recently the whole team at the Eccles, they
always crush it.
On it. The buses, the first day it was very overloaded. Now pretty smooth. Everyone's getting there.
Mm-hmm. Those first little couple days are always a little.
It's everyone trying to learn what's happening, right? But once the system is moving, then you realize like you just got to be on it. You know, we've been seeing a lot of people go to a wait list, which closes 30 minutes in. So you could be number one. They're going to boot you to the back.
Yeah.
People are like, I never heard of this rule. It's like printed on the badge.
Yeah. And it's been a rule forever. Yeah. If it's your first screening of the fest, I know one year I had my second year. I was like, oh shit, it was 30 minutes. I thought it was 15. I'm not going to yell at anybody for it, but you got people that are getting real upset with people because they're number one and now suddenly they're 550.
Yeah, it's
what, like, well, that's your fault. Yeah. You know, like,
we do a lot of press and industry screenings here. Just a nice way for us to fit in more stuff.
I like the public ones more. Always.
Always prefer public. Always prefer public.
But one of the things about those press and industry screenings is because a lot of people here are working, you will see weirdly more phone usage in those screenings than you do in a lot of the public ones.
Because you're allowed to.
It's been they haven't explicitly said that this year. I remember one year they told us to put the phones away, and then the next screening we're like, I've actually been told I can't tell you to put them away because I realize you are working, but please try to be respectful with them.
Mm-hmm. Put the tablet away.
Yeah, put the tablet.
Some people come with computers,
dude.
But
I get it,
but I think it was before our screening of Presence, where as the lights are going down, a lady said, "Don't be that asshole who's on their phone."
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, well, I also found out that a lot of the industry people they pay for those badges.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so there I guess they can leave when they want then.
Yeah, they can leave when they want. I don't know if it's industry, like producer industry, because they might get the free badges, but it's like, I think it's people that are like, I'm an editor. I have like a credit here. I get the ability to pay for the badge.
Gotcha.
I think there are certain ones that are given out for free, particularly the people who are like doing Q&As and stuff like that.
Yes, of course.
But a lot of people, especially like you run into a lot of people who work for distribution companies, who work for publicity companies, who are at other film festivals. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the people who I think are paying for those industry badges.
Yeah.
It's a big one we got. Have y'all run into anyone unexpected?
I mean, you got the closest celebrity interaction with Cyrus from It's What's Inside.
Yeah, he was funny. He's like literally his character in the movie. That's all I can say about
him. I love that. I've heard a lot of people, like apparently Kristen Stewart has just been walking around Main Street, Jenna Malone. A lot of people have just been, if you were on Main Street a lot, you might have run into people. If you are by the bathrooms at the Eccles, the outside one, apparently you see that's where they're funneling in celebrities now. Not in the bathroom, but there's like a tunnel
there. Like very specific. That was like a very specific spot. I thought you were going to say a very specific person.
No. Yeah, if you've been around the bit. Like that's where they're funneling them through.
Pretty crazy. I think his name is James Morosini, the guy. I saw this dude right here.
Cool.
He's the guy from I Love My Dad. Did y'all ever see that?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, he is.
I should not have fist bumped him for what he does in that movie.
You should have fist bumped him for what he did in this movie.
You're right. No, he was fantastic in this
one. It's a good movie.
He's the main guy that I've seen right here, James Morosini. I saw this one guy. He runs like a critic circle. He like got up and all of the funds that he never gave just fell out of his pocket. It was crazy, Zach. What else have you seen? Or people who you've met up with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the Friends. We see Marjorie. You know, I talked to Dave Chen, who's somebody I've been reading for a little while, and that was
you were telling me he used to pitch things back in the day when he needed a
I suggested a name for a podcast that he ended up running with, so
nice.
I've contributed to his career. Nice. Yeah, right. I'm looking for my residuals for that. But that's the other thing too, is like you will end up in line with, you know, sometimes it's celebrities, like we were in line with Jabuki last year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like people that
Ryder Strong is frequently at Sundance. That's Sean from Boy Meets World.
Yeah. And then sometimes
he loves Sundance.
Just in line with people that you like recognize from film Twitter. It's like, I've seen that face, but it's circular and really small.
Yeah, for sure. I got to run into my friend Valerie, who I always love kind of sideswiping at these events for Love Lies Bleeding. And, you know, she got to introduce me to some of her friends, which is always nice. I've got some friends that are kind of like in the more traditional media sense that like respect what I do. And it's nice when that happens. We all know what it feels like to have people just want to disregard you just because of the platform that you're on. So that's always nice. I feel really terrible for her, though, because apparently her hotel room flooded. Sprinklers went off in the middle of the night and they weren't able to shut them off.
And that's one of the fancy ones.
That's the fancy hotel. That's where headquarters is.
So I drank this.
We brushed shoulders with Danny Pudi on our way to get our badges too from a community.
Oh, that is right.
I think he's a judge on one of the panels.
Is he really?
I think
for him.
Oh, sick. Yeah. That's dope. Obviously, a bunch of the Q&As have just been really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I was right up front for Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah, she booked it there. So we have a bunch of Q&As that we'll be posting up as well. And honestly, to me, the best part.
Do you have a favorite of the Q&As we've seen so far?
I think Real Pain was a really good one.
Real Pain was good. No, Real Pain would literally be the best one if Kieran was there.
Yeah, it would have been if he had.
We only had Jesse Eisenberg, but he gave like some phenomenal answers.
Yeah. I like the Love Lies Bleeding one. I thought there were some fun moments, and it was informative too.
Yeah.
Fun and informative.
In the Summers was pretty good.
Nice. Worst one is Love Me for sure.
Worst one is Love Me because they did not want to be there. I'll stick with those for right now and A Real Pain. Also Ghostlight because they had almost everybody
nice.
There.
Yeah, Ghost is nice.
When they tend to have the entire group there, I think those tend to be really good discussions.
One of the things also that is kind of special about seeing these screenings is like sometimes a quarter of the audience worked on the film.
And they're so excited, and it's so nice to get the energy of like when their production companies come up and they're cheering, or for specific people and names is always fun.
Very big mom and dad in the audience
energy. It's so cute. I also will say a Q&A can come down to two things. It's how good the questions are, or how good they are at spinning bad questions.
Right. Yeah.
And how involved. So sometimes you can tell that the programmer is enthusiastic, so they're asking really good questions. Sometimes they're just more the standard ones, but that's okay too. Some of the audience questions they're usually not very good, but good people, good actors, good directors can always take the nugget and then spin it in an interesting direction where they want to take it. So that can like really make or break.
I've been hearing some that have like ended in a disaster because of that.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know, did you speak to Kristen Stewart? It was actually better. She spoke to us. So I have been hearing people talk to her, and like you were saying, that she's been all around Main Street.
Yeah.
She has probably been the busiest person here at Sundance.
She's definitely the busiest, and it's kind of cool that she feels comfortable enough just be wandering around, because normally anywhere I've seen her at other festivals, there are no bodyguards all around her getting her away from things.
Well, she knew they'd be slipping around her, and she'd be able to juke it out.
She's in two movies. She did the opening gala.
Yeah.
She was doing burpees on stage for
and
both, bro.
Back to back. So it's like, you know, you had to be, you're honored one night. You got to be somewhere early the next morning. Then you've got the premiere of the next one the next night.
Then the second showing the next morning. That's been a really cool thing.
But no, I didn't. I'm not like a weird person. I'm not going to like bum rush somebody or be.
I mean, you are a weird person, but you're not going to rush somebody. I'm an idiot,
but I also have respect. If there had been an opportunity, I should have asked a question, but I was so busy like recording and like I don't know.
It's too much.
Yeah, I just never know, you know.
But I feel like we're also in that same boat where for me, for the most part, I'll look at a celebrity and be like, oh, that's dumb, but I won't really go up to them. So I guess that's why when you have inner cuties or people who watch LME, Man of the Jedi, Multiplex, if they do recognize you, they may not come up to you. And at first you're like, oh, just literally saying hi is the best part of it. Cause you're.
Yeah. If I had had the opportunity.
It's like the reason why we're here.
Yeah. If she had been somewhere. So it's like when I left Kajillionaire, they were walking out the same way. So I was able to say a quick word to Evan Rachel Wood, and it was fantastic. She touched my shoulder. I'll never forget. I'm sorry. I am weird. I'm sorry.
She connected the dots right there.
Yeah. But not really, but it's like, I don't know. Like, you know, that was because it presented itself. Cause I wasn't one of the people who's like, can I please have a picture? I just want to say you did a really good job with that. I found that really moving. Yeah. I hope you have a really good day. Yeah. And it would be the same thing if I ran into Kristen Stewart, you know?
What more could you say, right? Yeah.
I'd be like, maybe you know me from my work about Twilight. No, I will never mention Twilight to her. I wouldn't do it. But there's just like certain people, and I don't even think I got it with her. The only person I've gotten the super starstruck reaction from was Dakota Johnson at TIFF. When she came, I was like, you were ethereal. What the fuck? Like, but no, I did not. Sadly, I did not talk to Kristen Stewart, and it's probably better that way.
Well,
I just want to be friends. Everyone thinks it's weird. I actually just want to be your friend. I'm very happy she's married. I'm happily, you know, I'm good. You know, like I don't need Kristen Stewart.
I have footage of Amanda, and it's like, I swear, just her and 7 empty lines in the tent.
No, I literally, they're letting in for my old ass, and I walk in and they're like, no, I'm sorry. You got to go to that overflow line. And I'm like, no, because
you were how many hours early for Love Lies Bleeding?
Four. Like three and a half.
She was two whole Love Lies Bleeding runtimes early for the movie.
Yeah.
But she got the primo seat, though.
Yeah, so I got the seat.
I filmed the Q&A, and there's Amanda in the front row.
The easiest way to catch Amanda is because she's had this orange hat, and it's literally, you just got to look, and it's either going to be a crew guy or Amanda. So it's always easy to find her. It's been the best.
I want it to be perceived.
So if you do catch her walking around, it is not the Toy Stories from the second movie walking around. It's Amanda the Jedi. Say hi to her.
Yeah, please.
Say hi to Zach. Say hi to any of us over here.
And you can ask for pictures. I feel like I've had two people be like weird, not them being weird, but feeling weird about asking for the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Please, you know, whatever makes, you know.
Just get my best side.
Yeah, get my best side. I take horrible pictures, but like, yeah, you can have one.
Just the idea of talking movies with other people, and especially those who like already have that connection because they like watch your stuff.
Yeah,
you just like get into a zone, and especially in previous years, someone came out of Promising Young Woman, and I was like, "Did you like it?" And they're like, "Nah, but I think you will."
Yeah, I love that.
And
yeah.
I hate that I came out and they were right.
You're right. Yeah, I know.
They it's almost like you get better recommendations from the people who watch you
because they get a vibe
because they know what you want.
Yeah,
because people will come up to us and I'll be like, "But I don't know you. If I spent a week with you, I think I could curate something for you. Mm-hmm. I know what I could pitch to you and to you.
It's like
you
when guys family know. Members are like, make me a list of movies. And I'm like, please don't ask me.
Sometimes
that.
It's like, hi, John. I don't like, you like sci-fi. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but here's a group of five.
Yeah.
But it's always cool to get the movie recommendations back.
That's right. So cool. That's really cool.
So
yeah, no, it's really nice. And I love talking movies, like seeing what you guys are enthusiastic about and like what, yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's great.
So other than that, those are the stories that we have, the movies. Again, if you have any recommendations for what you want us to see us cover individually, obviously we're going to do the top 10 at the end of the fest, go through all of them in a more
awards. Yeah,
bigger video, the awards. But we want to do these individual videos because we know many times someone's not sitting for something as long as this, or they just want that individual review, our first thoughts. Let us know which one of those you want to see down below. If you're at Sundance and have any questions, as always, you can reach out to me at LME Movies on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. I try to respond as much as possible. I know people still respond to my like 2017 Sundance video, and I think some people are like, is that him?
Is that him?
A little bit more cheeky, but I think that might be him.
Yeah, I think that's the cartoon man.
Like, yeah, so I've always like, I reached out to a lot of people in my first year trying to get advice and got very few responses back.
I was lucky I had you to guide me right from the get-go.
So that's like literally the best part of it.
Yeah.
Is just being able to have that connection with other people and just passing it forward, because then they'll learn something and then they teach you about it. So reach out to me and all of those. You can reach out to Zach
at Zshevich on various social media platforms and at Multiplex Show when I eventually upload a video.
There you go. You can find me all over the place at Amanda the Jedi.
You could find us every day for the rest of the Sundance Festival at the corner of the Eccles bathroom part. What was it?
Yeah.
It's like the slipperiest part there.
Yeah.
You can find us here at Sundance. If you are, let us know. You can catch us every week here on Mondays for the Weekend Must Watch on Intercut.
And you can catch us tomorrow morning.
We're going to bed. Yeah. Tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning, where we're going to be breaking down the Oscar nominations. I am tired, but excited for it. Some over-unders.
We thinking Oppenheimer? Are you going to go Oppenheimer more or less than 12 and a half nominations?
Ooh, I'm going 11 for Opp.
Ooh, I think I got 13 for Oppenheimer.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Notoriously shit it. I don't know.
Zach's going to do a whole breakdown pre the show tomorrow. Right. So if you're looking for a live stream, join ours. We're going to have that ready to go. But again, follow us on all social media. Let us know your favorites at the festival, especially if you're watching virtually. We're very curious what you're looking forward to. Until next time, keep watching movies, and we'll see y'all later.